quiet, not a moment of silence, asking for my higher power to deliver a clear message of hope and recovery to all. Okay. All right, so they asked me to speak on For the Newcomer IP, and then told me that I have like 45 minutes to an hour to speak, so I'm guessing like the best message for the newcomers just gives you my message. So I guess I'll just go like a little bit of the beginning. Originally from Indiana, PA, I grew up in Philadelphia. Both my parents are drug addicts. Both my parents are still drug addicts. I think the first time I used, I was probably like 10. I grew up in like a pretty racist white family when I lived in Indiana. So like when I moved to Philly, it was a big ass culture shock. I was the girl that looked Puerto Rican. I was black, but I sounded white. So like my identity was lost like a long time ago. So my life, like, it went on how everybody else's does. I sold drugs my whole life. I was a 12-year-old convicted felon, second-time convicted felon at 15. So my life just, it spiraled from there. It's been a long time in a really abusive relationship that didn't actually end. That shit didn't end until I got clean, like, a little over 4 years ago. And basically, like, what brought me here was I was depleted. Like, I went to jail again. I was on the third parole violation. It was COVID. And I went to treatment, like, because I knew I had to. Not because I wanted to, because, like, I knew that I might be able to dodge a bullet with my PO. And I did get lucky. It was COVID. They were letting people out of jail. So I didn't go in for that violation and ended up getting off paper for that case, like, 2 months later. But I had a new case. And previously, like, I had lost custody of all my kids. I lost my rights to my youngest son. But right before this, my older two had came back to live with me. And I was on my way to Philly. I was, you know, ripping and running back from this part of PA to there. And I was smoking wet. That's my DOC. And I caught another case in Indiana with meth. And during my stay, like, I did 2 years in jail right before this. My daughter was molested, so, by her grandfather. I was in jail, her dad was in jail, so when I got to treatment this time, like, my aha moment was like, Nick, what the fuck are you doing? You know, my kids were suffering, I was suffering, I was looking at a state bid, and I had just, like, reached my point where, like, enough was enough. So, like, for that point, I don't know how many of you are newcomers, like, that desperation point was the point for me. Like, I was tired of living like that. It was all I knew. And I just took off from there. I knew some people that worked in the treatment facility that I was at that, like, I'd done drugs with, sold drugs to, and they were doing good. So, like, that was my hope shot to try this. And I gave it a go. So, like, the best advice I can give, like, from the beginning for me was just, like, learning how to do the right thing. Because, like, I didn't know how. I didn't know how not to grab you this, to make that money, to get this, or none of that. I got a job and filed for taxes, like, the first time in my life. When I left treatment, I went to a recovery house two blocks away from my mom's house. So, like, that was the first move of, like, just doing something different that I had done. Because, like, I spent my whole life trying to have this relationship with this woman that only cared about getting high and is now on hospice care, still only cares about getting high. And I had to, like, for the first time in my life, choose myself. Not try to be something to a man, not try to be something to a family, not try to be anything to anyone, but, like, give myself a shot that I felt like I never had, because we all, like, some of us had that victim mindset. We're like, this is just the hand we were dealt, right? So I just started to play my hand different. I walked to work every day for, like, 10 months before I was able to file taxes, like I said, for the first time at 37, and buy a car. I paid my fines off. I did all that shit. I guess, like, the next part was, what's that about to say? All right, so I was working, and then eventually, like, it came to the point where, like, I was the house manager at this house, and I was ready to move out, and I did so with, I think, 11 months clean, and, like, 2 months later, my house burned down. So my son was making French fries at, like, 6 in the morning, but, like, it was that point that, like, I knew I was going to be okay, because, like, using, for me, wasn't an option. everything that I had to this point, like from doing the right thing to having my children back in my life to having a job to starting to build some self-respect, some self-love, I got because of this program. And people pulled through for me at this point. It was people in the program that brought me dishes. It was my employer from my that job that I was working at that time at the pizza shop that gave me an apartment for me and my kids to go to. And then I went to court like shortly after that. And then some of the people that were like working in the treatment facility that I was in, that came to court for me, was 16 months clean on this case that I was supposed to go upstate for. And this was a judge that, you know, 6 years prior I had stood in front of him. He was like, next time you come in front of me, I'm throwing the book at you. And I walked out of that courtroom with no further punishment, no cost, no fines, no nothing, just because, like, I was doing the right thing. And that was, like, one of my first big spiritual awakenings. But it was really that point where, like, you know, I didn't go right back like I left something. I wasn't right back in the streets like, all right, this case is gone. I don't got to deal with none of that. I kept going. I started working in the job that I have now. And I told you guys previously, like, I lost my rights to my youngest son. And he, like, walked into my job one day. I ran into his dad, like, 2 weeks prior to that. His grandmother adopted him because I did 2 years. And he lives with me now. So I'm only his legal guardian. She still, like, adopted him or whatever the case was. And he's been giving me hell since he came back, like, caught a case, like, 2 weeks later. But I always say, like, that was, like, my pushing factor was, like, I know I might not see him again till he's 18, but when I do, he's going to know, like, it wasn't for nothing. So now, like, that's what keeps me going every day when he makes me want to fucking choke him because he, like, is catching cases, getting in trouble. And he's exactly like me when I was his age. And it's just so crazy how he lived with someone else for 8 years, but he's exactly like me. So for me, like, it's just important for me to continue to, like, try to break that cycle. So he came back to live with me. I started working where I'm working now. I worked in recovery. Ended up getting, like, a promotion and a raise. And doing really good, like, starting to be able to, like, find my purpose through this program. Like, because before I came here, I didn't have one. Like, I was going to die in a cell or I was going to die in a box. I mean, I'm probably going to die in a box anyways. But, like, I had accepted that that was my fate and who I was going to be. And just by, like, sticking and staying, those little things in the beginning, doing the 90 meetings and 90 days, getting a sponsor, working steps, like, that's the biggest message to the newcomers. Like, the answer's there. It's in the steps. Because I've seen people go to meetings, you know, show up, not work steps, and they fall off. Fortunately, like, relapsing has not been a part of my program yet. I hope it doesn't become a part of my program, but I know very well that it's possible if I don't, like, keep showing up for myself. So, to, like, fast forward, I said that all really fast, and I'm supposed to be speaking for, like, 45 minutes of my shit. I've told everything. I don't know, like, I can't even begin to explain, like, the blessings that this program has, like, given me. Today, you know, I have a son that's, I think, on his road to active addiction. My oldest son, all they want to do is party and drink. Just gave me my first grandchild. He's 4.5 months old. And I'm raising. You know what I mean? And it's because of this program that I'm able to do that, that I don't have to, you know, depend on the system, that I can go to work every day, that I can pay for daycare, that I can do all those things that someone did for me when I was in active addiction, when my parents were in active addiction. So, like, for me, I'm not to the point where I have to take him to court yet. He's just kind of letting me have him. But if I do, like, I have a leg to stand on, because that cycle is going to break with that baby if it kills me. Yeah. I live and breathe recovery. I live and breathe this program. Like I told you guys, I went to a recovery house that was, like, 2 blocks away from my mom. And, like, there, I learned how to be accountable. I started working steps with, like, 45 days clean. And I remember, like, that first surrender piece where, like, I realized I couldn't do it my way. I realized that, like, I had depleted every fucking option that I had, every other source that I had, and, like, I dove headfirst into this program. And I wasn't sure about God, I wasn't sure about anything, but I just knew that, like, nothing else worked, and I saw it working for so many other people. So, like, I stayed in position, I kept going, and I waited, and it kept happening for me just over and over and over again. But it's those little moments where, like, I feel like I want to fold, or I feel like maybe this isn't it, which I don't have those a lot anymore, that I just, like, keep going. And if it's that bad, I pick up the phone. I call my sponsor. I utilize them. I have a strong-ass we. And the blessings, like, have just continued, especially, like, in the last, year has been rough. So, like, at the beginning of last year, I was working my 10th step. And I had spent 2 years celibate before this, right? No relationship, no talking to anybody, no doing anything. And then I thought it was a fucking bright idea to start fucking with a newcomer, right? And I did that. He had, like, 3 months clean. It was a really toxic, bad situation that, like, almost brought me to my knees. Because, you know, the newcomer IP does say that the addiction is still there after we put the drug down, right? And that whole situation just made me realize, like, how much work that I hadn't done yet. At 40 years old, I got pregnant to somebody with 3 months clean that relapsed and then fucked some other girl from the rooms, like, 5 days after I miscarried, right? So my first impulse was, like, to go right back to who I used to be, and I tried to kick her fucking door in. And with both of them in there, she pressed charges on me. I almost lost everything I worked for over this situation. So, like, I thought I did all this work. And it was that situation with 3.5 years clean that made me realize that I'm always going to be that person, but it's going to be the choices that I make that's going to determine what happens to me. Mm-hmm. By the grace of God, that shit got thrown out, and I didn't lose everything. And I kept pushing, and honestly, like, even though I didn't want to, my sponsors, like, pray for her. I'm like, fuck that bitch. You know what I mean? I'm like, but I did. Yeah. I did pray for her. And she showed up to court and she dropped those charges. But, like, I had to leave that situation where it was. I had to leave him where he was. And it brought me to the point of, like, now I'm raising my grandchild. So, like, shit happens for a reason, right? And it was a lesson learned. A few months later, I stepped into the relationship I'm in now. Healthiest, happiest relationship that I've ever been in my life. Wasn't really ready for it. Don't know how far it's going to go, but, like, I know that I have the tools to deal with whatever comes, right? Because through that situation, like, they both used, and I stayed clean. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the most important part of it. Like, I had a sponsor recently going through some shit, and, you know, had a little slip-up, and I had to tell her, like, I wouldn't have made it either. I wouldn't have made it either through any of that shit that I just went through if I didn't work a program. And that's the key part of it. So I continued to do my steps. I did my 11th. I'm on my 12th. I've been on my 12th for, like, 7 fucking months. And that's why I said yes to coming here today, because, like, that's the 12th step, right? Yeah. To continue to spread the message of recovery, because I've had to say no the last few times because I just wasn't in a good place. I don't know. Like, sticking to this program, it's the first thing in my life that's ever gave me anything good. From my parents, from school, from work, from anything. It's given me a relationship with my children. It's given me the family that I always thought in drugs, like, the family that I never had. And it's really with people in this fellowship with the other women that, like, I will be friends with for the rest of my life. That I call now when I have a problem. And shit's not always, like, perfect, but I just know, like, I've had those little thoughts where I'm like, well, maybe, you know, they drink again, or they smoke weed again, or they do this. I know what that does. I know that I can't do that shit. I know that I've tried to just sell drugs. I know that I've tried to just drink. I know that I've tried to just smoke weed, and I am in bars, or behind bars, or locked up. In or behind both.
Yeah, or both.
Quickly, I know that, like, when I hit my knees in that treatment center that day, I was like, listen, I'll keep up my end of the deal this time. Just help me pull this shit through. Mm-hmm. And I knew who I was talking to, what I was talking to, what I was doing, because I wasn't really sure that God gave a fuck about me at that point. But I know from that point on, my life has changed completely. My oldest 2 children graduated from school. My youngest, I'm sure you know, he's the last one left. I'm trying to get him through. We got 2 years left. But at any rate, my kids know, and that's, like, the most important part to me. They know that they can come to me. They know that I will show up for them. They know that I can show up for them. Sometimes they take advantage of that shit, and sometimes I parent out of guilt. Mm-hmm. But I recognize that, and I just try to continue to, like, do right by it. So, like, as far as, like, where this program has brought me, buy a house a year ago, and I decided maybe I want to like open a recovery house, right? I'm going to use my first time home buyers because I was set up to buy this house. Sellers pulled out, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to use it, and I'm going to buy a recovery house. And then I found out like through these programs that I could apply for funding. And because I'm going to be working for a Drug and Alcohol Commission, I couldn't get the funding. So like I kept like pursuing this, and it kept falling through. But I kept like in position because like I knew that there was a way that I was going to make this happen, and I prayed on it, and I close on the house August 8th, and I'm opening a licensed recovery house for women and children in Indiana.
Wow.
And that was like, when I came back here, my goal was to like get a food truck, you know what I mean? I was going to come make cheesesteaks and all this shit on campus, which I might still do, you know what I mean? But like, the goal now is to like employ other people. The goal now is to give other women, like, what I didn't have. I wish when I was in the trenches, and I was in the trenches. I was in Kensington in Philly. And all our trenches might be different. My story's different from yours. I never thought that I was going to make it out. I didn't have any help. At that point, I had depleted every relationship, every bond, every bridge I had. I burnt. So, like, today I just spend my days building new ones. So I'm sitting on a board with the same DA that was on that case that I caught, that offered me a piece of property to do this shit because, like, I really changed my life. The same cops that used to hide in my bushes are, like, shaking my hand in sheets. You know what I mean? I never, ever in a million years thought that I would have, like, the blessings that I have today. Like, I'm going to have something to leave my children. And the biggest part, and I always, like, end with this, and I'm probably going to end with this. I'm not going to keep talking because I talk fast anyways. It's like, if I die tomorrow, that's what my children are going to remember. It's like, my mom got her shit together. Mm-hmm. She did this for us. She did that for this. She did this for herself. And if I use and I die, that's what they're going to remember. Mm-hmm. So, like, I try to keep that desperation. I try to keep that part in the forefront because, like, if I fuck up, nobody has shit. You know what I mean? All that, all those little cliches, you can't pour from an empty cup, you can't do this, you can't do that, they're all true. I did not know how to love myself when I got here. Today I try to hold other people up so they can love themselves. I don't know, this program has been such a blessing, and I hope you guys got something out of that. That's all I have.
Thank you.
You weren't getting an hour out of me to start.
We got a good 25 minutes. I'm an addict named Brandon. So we have a group of people that are running a little bit behind. They're going to be here at 3:15 is the ETA. So we're going to do a little bit of fellowshipping until they arrive. So if we can we do recover.
What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. We either go on as best as we can to the better end, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years